In Florida, we have a place for you. Not only do we understand your aspirations, we're ready for them. For all the amazing things your future holds, we hold the key. Florida, the future is here.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the Wall Street Journal's newsroom in New York City. So for quite some time now, Twitter has been clamping down on abuse and harassment. There's been a big campaign that's forcing Twitter to confront very tricky questions about how it applies its particular standards. Tweets posted by President Donald Trump on his personal account have raised the question of whether he is violating the social network's rules and where that leaves Twitter. Let's take a look at where everyone in the Twitterverse stands. Joining us now is Wall Street Journal reporter Georgia Wells, patching in from San Francisco. Hey, Georgia.
Hey, Tanya.
Twitter's crackdown on abuse and harassment has been going on for quite some time. Where is Twitter at? What kinds of strides is it making in tackling this problem? How's it evolved since we first started talking about this?
Yeah, so harassment and abuse on Twitter reached a high point in 2016 when the actress Leslie Jones was getting harassed and she temporarily left the platform. And that was also around the time that kind of user growth on Twitter had started to stagnate a bit. There was some feeling among some executives that one reason for that could be the abuse on the platform. And so since then, Twitter has rolled out a number of tools, both that are designed to help the user control what they see. So filters that let the user not see certain words or not see certain content could have to do with abuse, or it could have to do with, if you don't want a spoiler for Game of Thrones or a sports game. And then also, they've introduced more artificial intelligence that helps them spot abuse when it's happening. And then they can also more proactively go and suspend accounts or just temporarily kind of restrict them. It's like giving them a timeout for 12 hours. And so kind of all these things together are kind of working to decrease the amount of harassment on Twitter right now.
It's interesting because, you know, they have all these ducks in a row in an effort to tackle the problems that it's had. And then an interesting scenario arises with President Donald Trump, who uses Twitter quite a bit. Apparently, in recent weeks, a lot of questions have been raised as to whether he may be violating Twitter's rules. Is there a case to be made there if we do look at where Twitter stands?
So Twitter told me that they look at like the full context of a tweet when they're weighing whether or not to take action, such as like take it down or to suspend the user. And so certainly harassing people and kind of targeted hate is against the rules. But Twitter also says that the newsworthiness of what's said is also one facet of what they consider. And so they refuse to comment on specific accounts like Donald Trump's. But academics have made the point to me that if you look at what he's tweeted, for example, when Donald Trump tweeted about television news host Mika Brzezinski kind of ridiculing her appearance, potentially that could have been seen as harassment. If someone else tweeted that, maybe that would have been taken down. But in the case of Trump, because organizations like the Wall Street Journal or other organizations might want to write about it, that would be a reason that Twitter might leave it up because it's newsworthy and also the president is speaking and people want to hear what the president has to say.
Right. It gets complicated because there are various facets to this. And also interesting, you know, public figures versus ordinary users, there's a certain dance and maybe it's the discretion and willingness to censor that comes into play.
You're right that like how Twitter applies its harassment policies to public figures versus ordinary users kind of suggests the limits to which it's willing to censor what people are saying. It's weighing, like, at the one hand, Twitter doesn't want people to abandon the site out of fear of being harassed. But on the other hand, like, free speech is one of its core values, and it wants to be able to remain, like, a hub for news chatter, including controversial views.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Georgia Wells about Twitter's struggles with its harassment policies. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
We know you well, you who became a multimillionaire at 43 and you who was born one. We know you who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune and you no longer getting a paycheck but not needing one either. And also you who doesn't have to work but can't help not to, you serial entrepreneur you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well, and that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for joining us. So you look at the global entity that Twitter is, and, you know, there's a technical aspect to it, but there's also people have their own personal opinions as to what constitutes harassment. You figure this is going to be a work in progress, but does it at least have a better handle on it now? Anything that proves that it's going in the right direction, doing something right?
Yeah, so Twitter created a Trust and Safety Council in early 2016. That council is made up of academics, researchers, advocates around like privacy and cyber stalking and safety on the internet. And this group meets with Twitter to kind of raise different concerns that Twitter might not be aware of. Like one example that someone said to me was that in India, to tell someone to go ride a bus or take a bus could be construed as a rape threat. And that's something that a company might not know to look out for unless someone like proactively tells them like that's threatening language. And they've said like there will be future things that come up that they can't predict right now, but they've got this group that they're working with. I think their hope is it will be able to guide them when things do come up.
Very good. Georgia Wells, thanks as always for the latest.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thanks again to The Wall Street Journal's Georgia Wells. That'll wrap up the tech news briefing for now. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
Follow The Wall Street Journal on your favorite podcast app. Search WSJ on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and any Amazon Alexa device. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.